she guarded the promise even in silence. When her son died on her lap, she didn't weep and wail and pitch dust in the air like they actually do in real life. She picked her son up. She walked him up to the place where the presence was. She walked him up and set him in the place. And what did she say? Shalom. It is well. It is well. And the third thing she did, she refused to settle for less than God's best. Remember, she went and wrapped herself around the prophet's ankles, and he was going to send his servant ahead. And she said, no. I didn't come for the servant. The servant didn't make me this promise. You did. I came for you, and I'm not leaving until you go with me. Amen. You remember the story? So I'm not going to preach that again. So that's just a real brief rewind of what we preached 2 weeks ago, just so we can get ready for today. I want to tell you a couple of things about expectancy. Today is called taking action. Expectancy prepares. Expectancy moves. And expectancy always takes an appropriate action. I'm going to say that again. Expectancy prepares. Expectancy moves, and expectancy always takes an appropriate action. It takes action. Faith sees it and believes it. Hope holds on for it, and then expectancy takes an appropriate action toward it. I'm preaching good, and y'all ain't letting on like I am. Expectancy takes an appropriate action toward the thing you're believing for and hoping for out there in the future. Expectancy takes action toward it. Okay? So, I want to give you some verses. Expectancy versus wishful thinking. Because we're a whole lot of times wishful thinkers. We don't expect nothing. We just wishful thinking. So we're gonna look at that. Expectancy gets up off the couch and goes to the gym to prepare to lose weight. Wishful thinking watches all the weight loss stories on TikTok while we reach for the donuts. I wish I could lose weight. Right? You understand the difference? Expectancy makes plans for the baby's room. It prepares for the baby. Wishful thinking just looks at the baby clothes in the store again, wondering when it will be your turn. We there? You with me? We're talking about expectancy versus wishful thinking. Expectancy packs a box and prepares to move. You've been praying about selling your house, and you've been thinking about selling your house. Expectancy prepares the box. It packs a box and prepares to move. Wishful thinking sits and watches the housing market flip over and over and over. Do you see the difference? Because expectancy takes action. Expectancy takes the class in preparation for promotion, and the Lord had me add this morning, and talks to the boss. Expectancy will take the class and talk to the boss and let the boss know, I want this. Wishful thinking just sits and waits and, quote unquote, hopes for the best but prepares for the worst. How many wishful thinkers we got in here? Don't raise your hand. Expectancy goes to the gym after school and shoots free throws for hours every single day to prepare to make the basketball team. That's what expectancy does. Nobody made you. You just got up. You disciplined yourself. You stay after school. You're going to go shoot free throws until somebody makes you leave. They're trying to lock up the school, and you're still there shooting free throws, trying to get your mechanics right. Wishful thinking just plays video games all day and is afraid to try out for the team. There's a difference. Let's just be real practical today. I want you to look at somebody and say this. Ready? I don't normally do this, but we're going to do it today. If you ain't getting ready for it, you ain't expecting it. Somebody write a song. Let me be in it. But I've been disappointed before. God didn't answer my other prayers. That's disappointment. Do you know what disappointment is? I got such a revelation this morning. Do you know what disappointment is literally? Do you know what it is? Because we think it's this great, big, huge, heavy, horrible thing that we have to tote around in life. But do you know what disappointment is? It's an emotion. And if it's an emotion, I have great news for you. It is part of your soul. Because your soul is your what? Your mind, your will, and your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser. So if it is part of your soul, guess what the Lord will do? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So if you have been disappointed, I want to clearly remind you of something this morning, very important. It's not an actual thing. It's an emotion. It is an emotion. And it is something that the Lord can restore if you will lay before Him and ask Him to restore you. He will restore you from disappointment this morning. Ah, I'm preaching better than y'all let on. Now, I got next week. You don't want to miss next week because we're going to dig into disappointment. We're going to face the cold, hard facts, and we're going to talk about how the Lord can heal us everywhere we hurt. How He can heal every emotion. Don't miss next week, because you cannot expect with disappointment in your life. Because you're always like, yeah, and you are a wishful thinker. Expectancy combined with disappointment in your life results in wishful thinking. Because you will never lean forward in that posture of expectancy to expect any good thing from God, because you are the disappointment is actually the gap between what you originally expected and what actually happened. That middle thing, that's where disappointment lives. And so we have to understand that if I don't deal with that, my expector is never going to work the way that it's supposed to work unless I let God restore my soul so that I can fully lean toward what I am believing for and what I am hoping for. Make sense? All right. So science shows us that when we anticipate success, when we expect it, it reshapes our outcome. When we anticipate success, military studies, okay? Soldiers who expected to thrive in freezing training not only performed better, but felt less stress and avoided injuries. Studies. These are studies that's been done. High expectancy actually fortified their bodies and minds. In the Marines, if you're going into the SEALs, you have to go through a thing that actually breaks your mind to make you believe you can do it anyway. No matter if you've been shot, no matter if it's freezing cold, no matter what you're having to go through, they will reshape you and force your body into physical situations until your mind actually flips over and begins to believe and fully expect your body to do what you tell it to do. Physical Marine training. Somebody else has discovered this. Why don't the church? So athletes, with strong self-expectancy, they outplay others. When you expect it of yourself, you'll outplay everybody else. They bounce back from losses faster, and they shoot more accurately when they expect to do that. I fully expect to get on the court and make every shot. And they do the training, they take action toward that, they practice, and they put everything they've got into it, and so they are able to do what they expect to do with their body. Y'all, talk to somebody. Look at them, say, you awake. So even in academics, hopeful expectancy predicts higher grades and better well-being, controlling for past performance. Listen, when you expect to go in, I'm going to ask this. I'm like, when my boys were younger and they were in school, and Caleb would be fretting over a test, I was like, look, you've studied, you've done your part. You pray, you ask the Lord to help you remember everything, and you're going to go in there and you're going to do great on that test. And I had to send him out the door like that instead of saying, well, you don't know. Whatever will be. I guess it'll show up. No, you have to help shape people and help them to understand what you expect, what you have leaned forward in, trained yourself for. It will happen. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in the military. It makes a difference in academics. It makes a difference in athletes. So optimism. We talked about looking for the pony in the room full of poop. Remember that? Actually leads, listen to this, to fewer mental and physical symptoms. It results in reduced anxiety and reduced illness. Optimism. Expectancy. It promotes healthier habits, stronger immunity, and even longer life. Because our brains release endorphins, which are natural painkillers. That combat stress as well as dopamine, which makes things enjoyable. So our brain says when we expect success, when we posture ourselves toward that, when we're up on a chair looking for it, when everybody else is naysaying, when we are leaned toward that, this actually says that we will accomplish what we expect to accomplish. I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about in life. So there is this thing called the expectancy theory, and it's very simple. It's a real theory. It's not wishful thinking. It's a mindset that fuels motivation, and this is the theory. Believe your efforts will lead to reward, and you will push harder and achieve more. When you believe that your efforts will lead to rewards, you will push yourself harder. And you will achieve more. That's just a product of nature. We're still nature, okay? Can I tell you something this morning? Expectancy is working in your life right now. It's working. Whether for the positive or the negative. Nothing good ever happens to me. Guess what? You may have a flat tire when you get out in the parking lot. I'm just kidding. Lord, no. But that's the way it works. If you expect it, it'll happen. Because you've postured yourself toward it. You're just a wishful thinker. If you don't let expectancy begin to fill your life, get over your disappointments, let God heal and restore your soul, and get lean forward again into anticipating what God wants to do in your life. So we're going to learn a little bit this morning from a certain woman in the Word. Mark chapter 5, if you'll turn in your Bibles there. We're going to drop in here on this story. Jesus has just sailed across the Sea of Galilee to cast the devils out of the man who lived in the graveyard. Y'all remember? So the storm rose up while they were on the sea, and he was asleep on the boat, and they was tore up because we're going down. We expecting to go down. And they woke Jesus up. Why ain't you awake? We're going down. And Jesus calmed the storm, and we know the story. And he said, why don't y'all do that? Why didn't y'all do that? And they said, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey? So they get on the other side. They come back. When he gets out of the boat, he met the man from Legion that was possessed by Legion, met him. And he was roaring, and eating her. And Jesus cast the devil out. He said, Legion, you got to go. Ask him his name. Told him his Legion. They said, can we go into pigs? I still don't understand that. I mean, theologically, somebody may have some answers for me on that, but I don't know why the devils wanted to go into the pigs. I guess they wanted something to destroy, and Jesus was not going to let them destroy that man. Isn't that good? So the pigs drowned. He came back across the sea and got out and was met by Jairus, whose daughter was sick. And he said, Jesus, if you'll just come with me. Jesus turned and went with Jairus. And they're walking toward Jairus' house. And we find sandwiched right in the middle of this miracle for Jairus' daughter, or wedged in, because this woman just wedged herself in. This woman just wedged herself into this story because she was fully expecting. Amen? She wedged herself into this story because she had an issue. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years. So it's 2026. If we subtract 12 years, that's 2014. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing in 2014? Everybody's eyes just went, ooh, because you're thinking, you're trying to remember. Where were you in 2014? Y'all trying to think about it. Was we married? How long I known you? Do you remember where you were in 2014? How old you were? Okay, so imagine from that point in time until now being sick, losing blood. So just imagine that. From then until now, you're suffering with something. For her, it was blood loss. So I reached out to Dr. Google again. And it says that 12 years of chronic ongoing blood loss causes profound long-term physiological, mental, and social effects, primarily stemming from severe iron deficiency or anemia and a constantly, listen to this, compromised oxygen-starved body. Because the life is in the blood. Leviticus tells us that. The life is in the blood. And she was every day losing life for 12 years. So such a condition results in chronic weakness, severe anemia-related complications, and a significantly reduced quality of life, leading to heart failure or death if untreated. So, and then there's there's all kinds of stuff that it lists in under that, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read it, but chronic fatigue and weakness, cardiovascular strain, organ dysfunction, immune system failure, physical appearance changes. You turn gray when you're losing blood. So with all of this stuff that she's got going on, and not to mention, we're going to read the scriptures, and we're going to find out exactly what she had been suffering from. We're going to start in verse 25. And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians. Much suffering. Physicians didn't know what was wrong with her, so they made her a guinea pig. So for 12 years, she had suffered under the hands of doctors who could not help her, but they took her money anyway. Amen? We know about some of that. They can't help you, but they take that copay anyway, right out your pocket. So she had spent all that she had. So she was penniless because of doctors taking her money but not able to help her. So that's where she's at. Now, you've got to also understand in this custom, she was unclean. She could not go to temple and worship. She could not live in the same house with people that were considered clean. She lived by herself. Was she a mama? I don't know. Was she a wife? I don't know. But if she was, she could not be around her family. She could not be touched by anyone because it would ceremonially make them unclean. So she was not to be touched, and she was not to sit on a chair because the chair was unclean. Can you imagine since 2014, nobody wrapping their arms around you and hugging you? Can you imagine since 2014, nobody actually being able to reach out and touch you, not being able, if you had children, to bounce your children on your knee, to hold your children to your breast when they were crying? Can you imagine watching your baby grow up, turning 12 years old, and you've not touched them? Let's get ourselves in that position for just a minute and think about the desperation that had risen up in this woman. She had spent all she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. Verse 27, she had heard, somebody say she heard, the reports concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. There was an expectancy on the inside of this woman that she had tried. She had expected the doctors to heal her, but it didn't work, and she got disappointed. Come on, somebody. She had been disappointed for 12 years. She had waited for 12 years. She would get hopeful. Hope would be crushed, but she heard about Jesus. She heard the report of Jesus, and she said, I fully expect that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And do you know what she did? She came up behind, because if they had been facing her, they would have been yelling, unclean, unclean. And she probably had to get down on her hands and knees, as weak as water, couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other. But something about expectancy gave her strength in her body and enabled her to push through the crowd and put her hand on the hem of his garment, and immediately she received her healing. Expectancy will do that. Wishful thinking would have had her sitting in her house wishing that somehow Jesus would drop by. Wishful thinking would have said, man, I just wish somehow that Jesus would come here. I wish somebody that I know would tell him about my problem. Pastor, would you just pray for me? Pray for yourself. She didn't send somebody else on this mission. She went herself, at the risk of being thrown aside and cast aside if they saw her. So she came up from behind, and she got down on her knees, and she pressed through until she just grabbed hold of the talus, I think is what they're called, on the edge of his garment, prayer talus, on the edge of his garment. She grabbed one of them, and immediately there was a result from her expectation, because she had said and kept saying, one version says, if I can only touch, here's my expectancy, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. There's her expectancy. So, she heard and she believed. She heard the report of Jesus, and she believed the report of Jesus. Second thing, she decided for herself. Can't nobody decide for you. Can't nobody expect for you. Can't nobody sometimes fight for you. Can't nobody do it for you all the time. She decided for herself. She didn't send somebody on a mission. She didn't send a husband that she hadn't been able to touch in 12 years on a mission. She didn't send her kids on a mission. She didn't send them. She went herself. She said, because if I touch him. And the third thing she did was she took action. She didn't just sit in her house and say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, all would be made well. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. No. She had to put herself where his garment was. She had to get in proximity of where his garment was. Y'all wait. So she took action. She got up. She put her robe around her. She stepped outside the door. And she listened. Because you could probably hear. Because there was always a crowd around Jesus. The throng is what it says. It means it's a lot of people. And she pressed through it. And she heard them. And she headed in that direction. Her expectancy got her up out of her chair. Got her dressed. Got her out the door. And headed in the right direction. She heard and believed. She decided death to all other options. Hey! She decided for herself, I got to touch him. And then she took action. She didn't sit in her house and wishful think for another day. Her expectation was not vague. It was very concise. It was not wishy-washy. She didn't see the crowds and walk away sad. She didn't see all these people gathered around Jesus and say, there's no way I'll ever get through that. I'm just so weak. She didn't do that. She saw the crowds. She saw the obstacle, and her expectancy pushed her right through it. Come on, somebody. Her expectancy raised her ability to do what it was that she was expecting to do, and she pushed herself right through until she got to the hem of his garment and she touched it. If it was meant to be, it wouldn't be this hard. If this was the right trail on this hiking path, it wouldn't be so hard. I wouldn't have so many trees to climb over and under. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not the right path. Just because it was difficult doesn't mean she should walk away. And that's where our expectancy turns into wishful thinking sometimes. We'll go, we'll take action, we start moving, and then it gets hard. And then what we do? Oh, well, I guess it wasn't for me. This sea of people, if they would just split and let me through and make this a little easier, I guess I'll just be sick for the rest of my life. You know what? We soft. And about half of us in this room would have done just that. I don't know which half. I ain't looking at nobody. But how many times do we want God to do something in our life and it gets hard? And we're like, or we decide we're going to take that class. I want this promotion. I'm going to take this class. I'm going to talk to my boss, and that class is hard. And you're like, I ain't been in school in 700 years, and I ain't prepared for this, and this I can't do this. And we're like, maybe somebody else should have that promotion, somebody that knows more than me. And we back down. Turned into wishful thinking. Because then you'll sit at your little cubicle till you retire with your little measly pension and say, I sure wish I could have. Expectancy is important. Look at somebody and say, expectancy is important. No, she didn't let any of those things happen. She had heard and believed and decided and was filled with expectancy. So she pressed through. She pressed through. Verse 29, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. And suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Her expectation was fulfilled. We say suddenly. She had a 12-year suddenly. Y'all just went from. Come on. 12 years of disappointment after disappointment. After disappointment. I bet if we get to talk to that woman when we get to heaven, she won't say it was suddenly. We start in day one, we want our suddenly. And if we don't get it, I guess it's not for me. This stuff don't work. Can I just talk about where we live? It's only 11:45 and I'm about done. You don't believe me, do you? Her expectation was fulfilled. That's so powerful. She heard and believed. She decided death to all other options. And she took action. Verse 30. This is so beautiful. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth. Why? She pulled it out of him. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Expectancy will pull it out of the kingdom of heaven and into the realm of this natural world. She pulled it out of heaven and she accepted it in her body. She pulled it out of heaven and received it in her loins. She pulled it out of heaven and received it into the midst of who she was. She pulled it out of heaven and it became her physiology. It changed her biology. It made everything right. It healed her right where she was broken. It pulled it out of heaven. Yeah. And Jesus like, who? Oh, ho, whoa, ho. Somebody done pulled something out of the kingdom. Because he is the kingdom, just like you're the kingdom, just like people should be pulling stuff out of you, but what they get out of you half the time ain't worth having. Oh, that's another sermon. You can do that one, Trey. Power proceeding from him had gone forth. Ripped out of him by a desperate woman who was fully expecting to receive her miracle. Do you see the principle that's in effect right here because of this story? Do you see the principle that when we fully expect and we are leaning toward him, believing, hopeful, and expecting, and move and take action, that we can pull it right out of the heavenly realm and into this natural realm with the rope of expectancy, which is what the word means. He turned around immediately in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31, and the disciples kept saying to him, "You see this crowd pressing hard against you from all sides, and you ask who touched me?" Bless them. Verse 32, look at this. Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. Done what? Pulled healing virtue out of the Son of Man. Pulled healing virtue right out of the kingdom. Right into herself. So good to me. Verse 33. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And verse 34. And he said to her, "Daughter." He didn't call her woman. The story started with a woman. He restored her identity. And he called her daughter. He said, "Daughter," what did he say? "Your what? Faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace," irene, which is the equivalent of the Hebrew shalom, "and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." You know what Jesus said? "These Egyptians that you have seen today, you will see no more again forever." That's what he said. He said, "This thing that has tormented you is not coming back. I'm not giving you a little temporary thing, and then as you get older, it may come back." He said, "You are free for forever from this thing." Why? Because her expectancy reached up into heaven and pulled right out into heaven, into herself, what she was wanting from him, what she needed from him. I know I get excited. I'm loud. I'm sorry. I wish I could be softer, but it gets all up in me and I get louder and louder. Maybe Lando can help control that back there. You are to go in peace, irene. And the word "whole" there means you're safe, you're saved, you're protected, you're healed. Sozo is the word. You are completely healed of this thing that has troubled you. You are completely whole. Another definition for the word "whole," which it uses in the King James Version, is restored. And I believe in that moment, because he didn't just want her blood flow to stop. You always get more from him than what you bargained for. He didn't just want her blood flow to stop so that she wasn't sick. I believe he restored her finances. I believe he restored her identity. I believe he restored, for 12 years, nobody touching her. I believe he fixed all of that on the inside of her where she had grown so inwardly focused. I believe in a moment he fixed all of that and he said, be whole. Be whole. Be restored. Be completely restored. Is that not beautiful? So she heard and she believed. She decided for herself, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. If I can do this, if I can take action, then this is going to happen. And then the third thing she did, she took action. We do this all the time. How many of you are planners? You want to plan. You got a calendar. You want to work your plan. You want to know what's happening every 15 minutes of the day. You need it all scheduled out. You just need a plan. Well, the thing is with her, she said, I just got to touch him. I got to touch him. And she didn't say, well, you know, I'll just sit and plan this for the next 12 years. How many of us are perpetual planners? We always plan and never execute. We always plan. I'm guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. We're planning. We're gonna, and we don't. We plan, but we don't execute. Why? Because we don't expect it. We plan, and we don't execute. This woman planned. She said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment," she heard about him. Jesus is a healer. He's a miracle worker. I wish you could be around him. I wish you could get there. She heard, she believed, she decided, death to all other options. I ain't got nothing else. I have been disappointed for 12 years, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and as soon as I do, my blood's going to stop flowing. I am going to be healed. And then what she did, she got up out of her house and went and did it. Through opposition, through hardship, it wasn't easy. She probably got knocked around a little bit in the throng of people that was around. She probably ended up on the ground. That's why she was just grabbing. She was grabbing for his clothes. Expectancy in your life can change everything when you are expecting in the right one. Listen to me. You get preached to all the time. This word is truth. And when we hear his promises, he is a God who keeps his promises. And when you grab onto his promise, when you hear it and you believe it, and then you say, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. I'm saying death to all other options. I'm going to believe this. And then you take action toward it. You take action toward what he said do. You take action toward what you're believing God for. You just wait. In time, it's going to happen for you. But if you never stretch yourself out there, if you never take action, you're just a wishful thinker. And it's time to decide this morning, what do I want to be for the kingdom? Do I want to be a wishful thinker? Do I want to be forever planning and never executing? Do I just want to be the one who sits back and doesn't believe for the miraculous? Or do I want to be the one in the middle of it, shouting and celebrating with people? Expectancy in our everyday life will transform the ordinary into extraordinary. Just go to work. Look around you. See who needs Jesus. See who could use a miracle. See. Just pay attention. Pay attention. That hard situation at work, did you know he wants to help you? He wants to help you. Expect it. Ask for it. See it, hear it, believe it, decide it, expect it. The difficult relationship with an estranged parent or an estranged child, he wants to help. Are you expecting him to show up in the middle of it? Are you expecting to pull heaven into earth? That medical diagnosis, can I tell you something? He wants to be invited in. Instead of you just calling and worrying and fretting and reading the Google reports, and everything will kill you on Google. If you have a toenail hung up on something and broke off, it will kill you on Google if you read Google. Will result in severe infection, which could result in death. He wants to be invited in. We invite everybody else into a medical diagnosis. We invite Google in. We invite Aunt so-and-so that had the same thing in. We invite our pawpaw in that's got the same thing. We invite everybody in. Are we going to invite him in and expect? Will you expect? What dead-end situation in your life right now? What dead-end situation needs you to rise up and say, if I can just touch him? If I can just touch him, I know things are going to change. What does it look like? If you can give me some music, Lando, for just a minute. We're going to give you just a minute. I just want to ask you, will you hear and believe his word? Whatever you're facing, have you found word on it? Have you found his promise concerning it? Well, I've been praying for it for 6 months. Don't quit. Expectancy will refuse to quit. Have you heard what he says? And do you believe what he says? Have you decided to believe what he says above what all the naysayers say? Because they got plenty to naysay about. They going to tell you that your cousin 7 times removed died from the same thing. Have you decided that his report is enough? Have you decided death to all other options, only him? And what are you doing to show your expectation?